From the terrors of Afghanistan to the beaches of Normandy and small towns all across the fruited plain, prepare to take an incredible journey down the chronicled events of 8 amazing individuals whose life experiences are nothing short of amazing. Author of Liberty is the brand new book by best-selling author Dr. Michael T. George. It's the amazing sequel to My Story of America, and it's available now at Amazon or by simply visiting secureyourliberty.com. Your soul will be stirred, inspired, invigorated as you read about the real lives of Americans who have been blessed by the sovereign hand of God and how their factual life stories reveal an element of truth rarely seen in America today. Get your copy of Author of Liberty today and purchase one as a gift for someone you love at secureyourliberty.com. That's secureyourliberty.com.
The Mike Church Show wanted to choose a special term for the loyal and erudite members of our audience. But dude was already taken.
Dude.
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 So we picked Veritas instead. Hey, Cosgrove, Veritas meets to solve the world's problems every morning with a King Dude. Will you be there?
It's a deal.
The Mike Church Show. Heard exclusively on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.
Church Show here, longest running radio talk show in the history of satellite radio, now here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. Folks, if you have become a new listener and you're just tuning in for the first time or the first couple of times and thinking to yourself, my goodness, what in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here? We are doing something here that, and I like to explain this from time to time because no one else is going to, and you're not going to find the explanation anywhere else. So why not explain it? We are making a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week home for the truth here on the Crusade Channel, and then hopefully on other channels as part of the Veritas Radio Network. There are other things that we would love to do. One thing at a time. For example, make this into an actual, very appropriate and modest yet functional television studio. So that we could broadcast the show with multiple camera angles and all the other things that modern audiences expect. Not too extravagant, but just a little bit of an upgrade from here. But there's lots of things that we want to do. But the principal focus is this. For years upon decades, American and Western broadcasters have proceeded from the point of view that the only ethical thing that needed to guide them was A, keeping on this side of some stupid, made up in some boardroom, FCC code of dirty words you're not supposed to say, whatever that may be. And then B, pursuing an ever larger audience for an ever larger increasing share of remuneration. In other words, getting rich through it. I don't need to repeat to you the litany of people that have gotten so obscenely wealthy through this medium here. It doesn't need to be repeated. And I don't have anything against those people. However, what we're doing here is bringing the perspective of Christian ethics, ancient, classically understood, traditionally defined ethics to broadcasting. And I pray that we don't violate those ethics. And when we do, please fraternally correct us. Call us on it. That doesn't mean sit out there with a pencil and a pad and monitor every date and every comma and every semicolon and everything said to try and nitpick, using pride and ego to try and knock someone, like yours truly, or another host down a peg here on the show. It means that, hey, you know, I heard you guys, you had this such and such as guest. That's not really something that's promoting the truth. You may want to, and we may want to disclaim that from time to time. But that's the goal here. Folks, broadcasting doesn't do this. They don't do broadcasting from the point of view that the human mind is actually enriched by the truth. That your daily life will actually be, you will be the benefit of hearing broadcast truth and a devotion to ethical broadcast truth. Now, if you like what I just said, well then, get in the game and join us. VeritasRadioNetwork.com/join. Become a Founders Pass member. And that's the easiest and best way. We also have a crowdfunding page. I set the goal for July for $2,000. Last Friday, I believe the only donation we have this month is, I don't know, Maggie O'Connell can update me on that, is a generous $500 donation from one, that's it, one guy. So, you know, we set goals here to do these things. Look, we have a prayer here. As a matter of fact, I was thinking about this, of sharing the prayer that I pray, and that I pray for the network. And that is, I'm not seeking wealth. I don't want a large mansion. I don't want a brand new car. I just want to survive. I want to be able to turn those lights on. I'd like to be able to present something a little more modern and expansive to allow us to enhance the message of the truth here. But it's not necessary to it. None of it happens, it happens. But while we're doing this, we want to provide an opportunity for other broadcasters to come right here, different times of the day, like right now. I keep throwing this out, and I pray to St. Joseph every day for it. This channel needs an experienced afternoon drive radio host. I'm going to keep saying it until one arrives at that door right there. And I believe someday that'll happen. We need a news person, someone that can do news and knows how to do news. Now, these are volunteer positions at the time being. But, folks, that's what we're doing here. And it is all for one purpose, because this has been missing from broadcasting. And as I say, and go to VeritasRadioNetwork.com and go read the mission statement. Don't take it from me. That's the mission statement that I haven't gotten any complaints from anyone that's a host here who wanted to alter anyone. So that's our mission statement. It tells you exactly why we're doing what we're doing. As an advertiser, you can benefit from this. When we relaunch the station next month and we change the way you hear radio the way it ought to be, we're going to advance that vision to the next level. But ladies and gentlemen, without your help, it's not going anywhere. And thanks to all of you that have assisted. Well, let's say that we set a goal of just having one more crowdfunding donation. Even $5 would make two crowdfunders today. And meeting the goal of three new members at VeritasRadioNetwork.com/join. And now I'd like to get into today's church doctrine here. Many of you know who Saint Benedict is, and you know the life and the times of Saint Benedict, or you know a little bit about it. Perhaps you've heard Rod Dreher, the columnist at the American Conservative Magazine, write on endlessly about how we all need to go cloister ourselves at the top of some mountain like Monte Cassino in Italy, Monte Cassino, and become part of this Benedict option. I don't think that Dreher has actually fleshed out the Catholicity and the beautiful Catholicity that Saint Benedict actually put into his option. Because remember, Benedict comes along at a time where Rome has yet to be consecrated to the church. In other words, Benedict lived at a very precarious time in the history of the Christian people. And it was Saint Benedict that leads the people of Europe into living a life kind of like what I was just describing, that is built around an ethical, a Christian ethical point of view. At the time of St. Benedict, our Lord would have walked the earth a mere 360 years before. He would have had knowledge from great-grandparents or great-grandfathers of Holy Mother Church to draw upon for the example of what Christ was like, what the teaching was like, what were the apostles like. I found this excerpt in a book about St. Benedict and what he decided to do, written in part by Blessed Cardinal Newman. I thought I'd share it with you as today's inaugural church doctrine. He, St. Benedict, found the world, physical and social, in ruins, and his mission was to restore it in the way, not of science, but of nature, not as if setting about to do it, not professing to do it by any set time or by series of strokes, but so quietly, patiently, gradually, that often till the work was done, it was not known to be doing. It was a restoration rather than a visitation, correction, or conversion. Well, let me stop right there. That just flies in the face of everything that we hear about today. Well, we need a revolution, and we got to go back to this. Perhaps instead of setting markers and doing all these things, winning elections and fundraising drives and building up this number and signing petitions, you just work at the ethics part. Lead by example, which is what Benedict did. Back to the Cardinal Newman. The new world he helped to create. Now remember, this is 4th century. The new world he helped to create was a growth rather than a structure. Silent men were observed about the country or discovered in the forest, digging, cleaning, and building. And other silent men, not seen, were sitting in the cold cloister, tiring their eyes and keeping their attention on the stretch, while they painfully deciphered, then copied and recopied the manuscripts which they had saved. There was no one that contended or cried out or drew attention to what was going on, but by degrees, the woody swamp became a hermitage, a religious house, a farm, an abbey, a village. You see the progression there? Well, why don't we just proceed from the point of view that what they have over there is not what that's not Christ-like, and why don't we start building what is Christ? Do you see that? Do you see the difference between pining away, well, what we need to do, this country's gone to hell in a handbasket. Well, maybe it has, and it has. But you're not going to fix it unless you start fixing it. Don't talk about it. In other words, start doing it. It's Cardinal Newman's point. So a farm, an abbey, a village, a seminary, a school of learning, and then a city. Roads and villages that connected it with other abbeys and cities, which had similarly grown up. And what the haughty Alaric or fierce Attila had broken to pieces, these patient, meditative men have brought back together and made to live again. And then, when they had in the course of many years gained their peaceful victories, perhaps some new invaders came, and with fire and sword undid their slow and persevering toil in an hour. Down in the dust lay the labor and civilization of centuries, churches, colleges, cloisters, libraries, and nothing was left to them but to begin it all over again. But this they did without grudging, so promptly, cheerfully, and tranquilly, as if it were by some law of nature that the restoration came. In other words, even if you build it up and you start seeing the fruits of your ethical Christian labor and you start seeing that it's affecting positively and you see the restoration of order, see the restoration of a moral code. You see reverence return, lex arendi, lex credendi, as we were talking about order. Lex arendi, lex credendi, as we were talking about order. You see people back to being fervent, reverent, even if something comes along and destroys it. Okay. This is part of, in other words, what Cardinal Newman is saying, this is part of a life. This is how you live your life. The Christian keeps on doing it. He expects to be told no. He expects to be persecuted. He expects to have the village ransacked. He expects to have it assaulted. And when it is, he repairs. He just starts all over again. Oh, well, okay, we did it before. It's what we will do now, and it's what we should do. And they were like the flowers and shrubs and great trees which they reared, and which, when ill broke off, Thus did the monks live and work after the 8th century had expired, amid the flames the Danes had enkindled. Foremost in the work of restoration was Dunstan, whose name is writ large over the history of his times. To him and to his fellow worker Ethelwald and the Oswald must be given the sources of the revival. Of the former, Cardinal Newman says, remember, I'm reading from a book that's quoting Cardinal Newman. Of the former, Cardinal Newman says, quote, as a religious, he shows himself in the simple character of a Benedictine. He had a taste for the arts, generally, especially music. He painted and embroidered. His skill in smith's work is recorded in the well-known legend of his combat with the evil one. And as the monks of Hilarion joined gardening with psalmody, and Bernard and his Cistercians, talking about St. Bernard of Clairvaux, and his Cistercians joined field work with meditation, so did St. Dunstan use music and painting as directly expressive or suggestive of devotion. He excelled in writing, painting, molding in wax, carving in wood and bone, and in work in gold and silver, iron and brass, says the author of his life, Surius. And he used his skill in musical instruments to charm away from himself and others their secular annoyances and to raise them to the theme of heavenly harmony, both by sweet words with which he accompanied his airs and by the concord of the airs themselves. A different perspective there on the Benedict option, as we hear some people talking about. And instead of looking at it as a thing that ultimately has some sort of an option goal, the goal is, as it always has been for the Christian, the goal is the work. The goal is the life, is living the life, doing the work, accepting the penance, making the sacrifice, loving the poor, loving your poverty, loving the charity. That's a true Benedict option. And that we ought to pray upon and hopefully seek to begin. Maybe we can even start today. So, folks, that'll wrap up today's Church Doctrine and today's Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. Hey, if you like what you heard here, hope you will join us for tomorrow's episode. We'll begin promptly at 8 a.m. Central Time, and we'll end at 11-ish. Don't forget to become a Founders Pass member. Simply go to veritasradionetwork.com/join. My website at mikechurch.com. We have a brand new world premiere episode of The Modern Wrong World Made Right featuring our Latinist Ryan Grant and his translation of St. Robert Bellarmine's work on the Antichrist. You're not going to want to miss the inaugural episode. Happens in about 53 minutes. For all of you that have joined us here today, thanks for listening. Please help us spread the word tomorrow on the show. Oh, folks, part one of four of a four-part series on the message and the importance of Fatima. Starring Christopher Ferrara. You're not going to want to miss this. Plus, our man Bloom in Mordor with Jordan Bloom in the final segment of the broadcast and your phone calls. All right here when the Mike Church Show convenes tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. for young Christopher Warshauer and Maggie O'Connell and all of us here on the Crusade Channel. It's Mike Church saying so long. See you in an hour here. May God bless you and Mary keep you.